You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. I recently flew to Germany, and during my flight, I thought about how expensive my ticket was and how bad the food was and whether I should watch Before Sunrise again or perhaps the bridges of Madison County. But I didn't even think for 1 minute about global warming and how much flying contributes to it. Every time you fly, you trash the planet, reads the headline of a new article by Christy Aschwanden. She is the lead science writer for 538, and she joins us now to talk about this. Hi, Christy. Thank you for being here.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
So every time I fly, I trash the planet. How so? What happens?
Yeah, so flying releases emissions. CO2, of course, is the one that most people are most aware of, but it releases these emissions up in the atmosphere where they actually do more damage than they would if they were released down on the ground. And that's one of the reasons that it's so problematic.
We've mentioned carbon dioxide. What else do planes emit?
Yeah, there are nitrogen oxides, sulfur oxides, this thing called black carbon, which is particularly bad.
And just how much emissions are we talking about?
Yeah, right now aircraft are about 2.5% of global carbon emissions, and that doesn't sound like that much. But it's growing very rapidly. And actually, if aviation was its own country, it would be in the top 10 emitters in the world.
So, you know, as an individual, if I think about reducing my carbon footprint, I think about not driving as much and perhaps not using air conditioning, those kinds of things. But I guess all of that is voided when I fly?
Absolutely. It's almost inevitably your biggest source of carbon emissions. So just to give you a sense of scale, taking a flight from Denver to New York round trip releases just under 2,000 kilograms of CO2. For that amount of emissions, I could drive my little Honda car 7,500 miles. But the bottom line is releasing these emissions up in the atmosphere creates much, much more warming effects than they would down on the ground. The IPCC, which is the sort of international governing body that looks at this stuff, the scientists, their estimate is that 2.7 is the multiplier they use, which means that it's about 2.7 times worse to release this carbon up in the atmosphere than it is down on the ground.
And Christy, all of this obviously begs the big question, which is, what can be done about this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is a lot, actually. The problem, though, is that the things that we can do don't match the magnitude of the problem. So in other words, there are a couple of approaches that can be used. One is fuels. So you can use biofuels and look at other sources of fueling the plane that would have less of a carbon impact. The problem, though, is that flying is an inherently very fuel-intensive activity. If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right? You're lifting this big, heavy object up into the air. And so that's just inherently going to take a lot of energy. And the other thing is you need a fuel that's very concentrated because of the weight aspect. So you don't want a fuel that's really heavy compared to the amount of energy that you're going to get out of it. So that limits things quite a bit.
Could planes be designed in a better way to be more fuel efficient?
One of the problems is that today's fleet is just much more efficient than it was 30 or 40 years ago. Planes last a long time. And so even if the planes become more efficient, a new plane can stay in the fleet for like 30 years. And then oftentimes the plane that gets retired from, say, American Airlines or United or one of the airlines here gets bought up by an airline in another country. And so it remains in the air. And so it just takes a really long time to make progress using this approach. So the other one that we haven't talked about is operations, and that is making flights, their takeoff and landings, more efficient, making sure that that planes aren't flying around an airport waiting to land, things like that. That's another place where efficiency gains can be made. But putting all of these things together, so you have the technology of the planes, you have the fuels, biofuels, things like that, and you have operations, putting all of those together just does not come anywhere close to meeting the kinds of goals that the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, is setting for reducing emissions. It's just an enormous gap. It's quite shocking, in fact. And ICAO recognizes this. This is why every single plan here to reduce emissions also includes something called market-based measures. Most people know them as carbon offsets. This is basically the aviation industry paying another industry or another source to reduce their emissions for them. So the idea is there's sort of a ceiling on how efficient aviation can become, and there's just a huge gap between that and the carbon goals. The only solution then is to find other sources of emissions reductions. And so that's why all of these treaties, all of these plans include an emissions trading system.
But bottom line, does it mean there will be fewer flights and they will be even more expensive?
If we are to meet the emissions targets that the industry has set, there will have to be fewer flights. That's how the numbers stack up.
And one last question. If I want to pick an airline that's kind of ahead of the curve in terms of being fuel efficient and green, or maybe that's the wrong word, which airline could I pick?
Yeah, so there was a study that came out recently looking at efficiencies among the U.S. fleet, and there was about a 27% difference between the most and least efficient airline. Alaska Air comes out on top, and American Airlines comes out dead last. But it's not just a matter of American Airlines saying, oh, screw it, we don't care about the climate, we don't care about this stuff. Alaska Airlines is based out of Seattle. The Seattle airport is part of a program called NextGen, which is working to increase efficiency of operations. And so we don't know exactly why their efficiency is the best, but some of the speculation is that being based out of a very efficient airport is helpful. They have some new planes, that's helpful too. So this is stuff that's very important to pay attention to, but I'll just point out that you're talking about, which Hummer is less environmentally destructive.
Christy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.